Okay, so tonight we're going to turn our attention to something that God does. Well, I shouldn't say that. We're going to talk about pruning. And one of the things that I'm going to suggest is that that may happen. That may be something that God does for us. He prunes us. It may also be something that we do to ourselves, that we prune ourselves so that we can bear more fruit. So, you know, we've been talking about what kind of fruit God wants us to bear. And then tonight we get to the point where we say, okay, if we're bearing fruit, if we're doing a good job doing this, then God is going to prune us so we can do it better. And that's always a little bit difficult when you're doing well. Somebody's telling you you can do better. It's an interesting concept that I think God is going to expect us to bear fruit, that God is going to prune us. And what's going on here? The context for this comes from John 15, and we mentioned this as we were going through our introductory material. Jesus says, I'm the true vine, my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So if you're not bearing any fruit, God's just going to cut you off. Okay? And you'll be gathered up and you'll be burned. But every branch in me that does bear fruit, he prunes it. And the goal of the pruning is so that we can be more fruitful. You are already clean because of words I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. So if you're cut off, you're not going to be able to bear fruit. Only if you stay with Jesus. And if you stay with Jesus, you have to expect that God is going to expect more of you if you start bearing fruit. Okay? So let's ask ourselves the question, why do we prune fruit trees or any kind of thing that grows? And I am not a farmer, but I looked this up on the website that you see listed down there at the bottom. And this website suggested that there were four reasons for pruning growing things that bear fruit. And this is particularly true about fruit trees, okay? The first reason that they gave is it makes it easier to pick the fruit. Now I don't think that's really what's going on here.
Well, Rick prunes, and I pick him off, the saplings off, and he gets everything off the top and leaves it on the bottom so it's easier to pick. Okay. And they grow on the bottom. So it kind of has that.
Okay. Well, that I suppose that's a reason, okay. Second, we prune to maintain a healthy tree because dead branches that are on the tree are a vector, or they're a way that bacteria and pests attack the tree. They come in through the dead branches.
And we did prune, we did cut off a big branch on that third apple tree, and it has been bearing like it never bared before. Once we got that dead thing off there, it's been doing really well. I mean, it doesn't bear as much as the other two, but it's much better.
Okay.
So it needed that. So.
Okay. So
I'm sorry if I made
that's okay. You have more experience than I do. I've never pruned a tree in my life.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I only know about pruning rose bushes.
Oh, well.
And if you prune rose bushes appropriately, they'll bloom a lot more.
Yes.
okay? So we maintain the health of the tree by removing the dead wood. We do it to improve air circulation, and that results in more sunshine getting to, no, to improve air circulation, and that improves the health of the tree. And then the fourth reason is we do it to let sunlight reach the fruit so they can grow healthy. And that may be what you're talking about. You kind of open up the tree and you cut away different branches so you get more sunlight on the fruit, and that is a reason to, that's why we prune trees, okay? I can say that if you don't prune trees, then they get all overgrown and they don't bear a great deal of fruit. And the fruit that they bear just isn't as good. That's true of roses. If you don't cut roses back, then they keep making blooms, but the blooms are really tiny. And sometimes when you cut roses, it's hard to cut roses back, you know, because you have this big, beautiful rose, yeah. And then it comes the fall, and you have to cut it back to about 18 inches tall. So you cut off everything. It's just bare canes that are stuck up there, and you've only got like 4 or 5 canes that are stuck up. And it's hard to do that. But if you don't do it, they won't have many blooms next year. So I guess the point I'm making is God's doing this for our benefit. So then you have to ask the question, how might God prune us to get us to bear more fruit? And I'm interested in hearing what you guys would say. I came up with a couple of ways that I can see God pruning to help us bear more fruit. One way might be to afflict us like he did Paul with the thorn in the flesh. Okay? And that might be a little bit of a stretch. But I think Paul became stronger because of his thorn in the flesh. And his conclusion in 2 Corinthians 12 is that he, because of the thorn in the flesh, he relied on God's strength more. And so that might be a good way that God would prune us. So what do you think is a thorn in the flesh? First of all, what do you think Paul's was?
Not
I've heard that disgusted.
I don't know.
Yeah, you get a lot of.
Maybe an illness of some kind.
Yeah, it could be an illness. Could be blindness.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think it was intense loneliness because he really wanted to be around Timothy and Titus and some other people that were helping him, and Barnabas, and so many people that he always traveled with. He almost never traveled by himself. And when he traveled by himself, he said, I found no rest in my spirit when he was in Athens. So he went looking for Timothy. When I first started preaching, I was working with another preacher, and he thought Paul's thorn in the flesh might have been young preachers.
Oh.
So I thought that was pretty good. What do you think might be our thorn in the flesh?
I guess I don't even understand that saying.
What?
Thorn in the flesh. I mean, I've heard it all my life, but I don't even understand what that means, I guess.
Something that
bothered Paul.
So for us, something that bothers me?
Yeah, it could be something, yeah, how would it work for, I mean, it might be, in my case, blindness, or, you know, God might afflict me with a thorn in the flesh to get me to bear fruit in terms of writing by taking away my ability to speak, you know. I don't know. I don't know what the thorn in the flesh might be. And it could be just intense loneliness. It could be Kim.
Well, I think
no,
life.
I'm just kidding.
Krista. But my faith, I had to keep my, I mean, I wanted to keep my faith. But when Chris died, that was hard.
Yeah.
You know, you've been there, so you know.
Yeah.
I could say the same.
Yeah.
Margaret passed
yeah.
away.
Yeah.
And you have to keep your, I mean, I don't mean have to. I don't mean like that. But your faith gets you through that.
Yeah. And I think that's God pruning us, making us stronger.
I don't blame God. I've never blamed God for that. I know a lot of people blame God for things that happen. But I don't blame God. I don't blame Chris. I totally understand what he was going through.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't me that was, you know, had yeah. that disability. But
yeah.
I mean, still, it's a very, what's the word? Anyway,
it
I can't think
be,
of the word now.
It can be a goad that makes us stronger. And so I think in Paul's case, it was something that made him stronger, even though you would look at it and say, well, he's blind. How does that make him stronger? It makes him more reliant on God.
Yeah.
So this says that a thorn in the flesh is a constant source of trouble or annoyance.
Okay.
So it's just a constant.
Yeah, it's a...
Can she be a...
I'm sure I am
to a lot of people.
Yeah, it very well could be that some constant annoyance can be a thorn in the flesh, and it doesn't have to be a person. It could be a person that you work with.
Well, I have a person that we've known each other for 30 years, and we traveled with them and everything else. And I don't know what I did, and I've tried to find out, and she just doesn't like me. And she and we've been together at different, and it's just, so you know, and I try to be as nice to her as I can. I'm not perfect, I'm not saying that, but I really try. I pray about it, not as often as I should, but I do. I'm not kidding you. But she's not only like that with me. She's like that. She is a miserable person. I feel sorry for her.
And maybe that was it. Because you're so happy-go-lucky right. and loving to everybody. And she has a hard time being able to do that.
But she so. Does have a good heart. She's shown me that good heart and yeah. other people. And so.
And it makes you more apt to try to bring that out
yeah.
in her.
Well, I try.
And that's the
truth. You have to be around her to know. Oh, I'm sorry.
I think that's a cause for you bearing good fruit.
I try, but we haven't been around him for a couple months because things came to a head.
So
fruit to her or anything.
So it could be that God takes away something that's good that was drawing us away from him. Okay. It could be your job. And I realize I can't say that in any case, in any specific case, this is what's happening. But I think God, you know, Matthew 5, he says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. So, give up something that's taking your attention away from me. And maybe God takes that away. you know, I've been reading over the last several days, and Putin is doing a lot of saber rattling and threatening World War III, and I think, you know, it would be a horrible thing to have that happen. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with us living in this country and having the freedoms that we have and the blessing, enjoying all the blessings that we enjoy. But it may be that God takes that away, because that's making us more fond of the blessings than we are of God. You know, we become more fond of democracy than we are of God. And so it may be that that's something God would take away. I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that God will prune. The difficulty is knowing what he's doing when he's pruning. Okay. And it could be, you know, I think... If you just look at what happened the last time we had the terrible ice storm, I think that was an opportunity for us to bear fruit doing good for other people. And it's a hardship, but I think God maybe gives us some hardships so that we'll rely on him and we'll take the opportunity to do good to other people. So I think that could be the hardships that come our way. And sometimes it could be hardships that really affect other people when they see us going through it. And they, you know, they say, man, I wish I had the kind of confidence that Eileen has when she has to go through hardships. And so maybe God giving us hardship can be a way that he prunes us. I just don't know. I do know that God prunes us. And how he does it, I'm not sure. Okay. Any comments from folks on Zoom? Any thoughts? You know, Jane having to go through being elated and then crushed. And I'm talking to Jane, and all Jane can do is feel bad for the poor nurse that made the mistake. And I think the more people see that, the more they're impressed with Jane and her faith, you know. So I think all of these things are ways that God can prune us. Some of them are pleasant and some of them are not so pleasant when you have to go through them.
So if we're bearing fruit, he prunes us.
Right.
I understand what this means, but what does it mean? He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. How does he do that?
He would sever his relationship with you.
How do we know that that's been done? Maybe I'm not bearing enough fruit, and he has severed his relationship with me.
It's not that you're not bearing enough fruit. If you're not bearing any fruit,
okay,
so he's going to cut you off.
How do we know that, though? How do we know we've been cut off?
We should feel it, because we suddenly we don't have the peace that we had before. Suddenly we don't have the assurance of salvation that we had before. It's not up to me to cut you off, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not my job. God will cut you off. And if he does, then suddenly you're facing difficulties without help. You don't have Jesus to fall back on. And the difficulties that are just a part of life start to crush you. That may be one way that we know that. But if having God in your life makes your life better, if you lose that, it ought to make your life worse, right? You'll lose what you had. But remember, that's the person. That's the person that doesn't bear fruit. There's no fruit. It's not the person that's not bearing enough fruit. The person that's not bearing enough fruit, he's pruning them so they'll bear more fruit. He stays connected with them. It's the people that don't bear any fruit, he just cuts them off. You are deriving some kind of sustenance from him that isn't producing any fruit, and he's not going to do that. But again, it's not up to me to say, Vicki, you're not bearing any fruit. You're cut off. I can't do that.
I understand that. I do. Okay.
Okay. It's like, if you think about, there's a situation that comes to mind where, suppose that your child becomes unfaithful to God and you withdraw your fellowship from him. What does he lose? He's still your child. Okay? And you know, you will still support him in physical things. He's still your child. Just like if the church, or if you had to withdraw from your spouse, that's still your spouse. But there's something lost when you withdraw from them. And it's an indefinable quality. But there's something lost, and it has to be lost. And will they feel it? Probably. The thing that happens most of the time when we withdraw from someone who is not living the way that they should is we're taking something away that they didn't value in the first place. So what we're withdrawing is pointless. But we never want to get to that point. We never want to get to there. So and that's the way it is with God. If you're not bearing any fruit, the reason he cut you off is you've made it pointless. So
if I don't bear fruit today, then he cuts me off. I mean, I guess this is just really hard for me to understand, but I get what you're saying, but it's just how much time, how many days do I have?
I don't know. I don't know that. It's like the story. Remember, we read the story about the farmer or the vineyard owner who came to the man that was tending the vineyard. He said, why is this tree here? It bears no fruit. Cut it down. And the man that was taking care of the tree said, let's not cut it down yet. Let me fertilize it for a while. Let me dung around it and prune it and see if I can get it to bear fruit. If it won't bear fruit eventually, we'll cut it down.
I'm sure you bear fruit every day because you work with people and you're kind and considerate and do your job correctly and you're on time. And so, you know, those are ways.
Yeah.
Sure.
Those are ways
you share with those who need you.
And you have that jar in your thing. If they cuss, they have to put money in it. So you're helping people not to use bad language. You do a lot of good every day. I know you do.
You have a cuss jar on your desk at work?
It's not currently there, but yeah.
Oh, it's not.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, hey, maybe that's a way of bearing fruit.
I think it is.
I think so too.
I do too, because I think people respect you for that.
I do. I think so.
Wish I could figure out the way to bear more fruit with my family.
Oh, well, me too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, those are just some things that I came up with. So other people may come up with other things where you could see God pruning you to get you to bear more fruit. And fertilizing you, you know. I think that falls into the same category.
Do you think fertilizing us is our blessings? Or is that different?
It could be. Could be. Sometimes God gives you blessings to get you to be less stingy.
Oh, okay.
So that the blessing is God giving you an opportunity to use something. And I think that's also pruning. It's not always cutting something away. I think it's also doing things that help us grow. Okay? Okay. Now, there's an interesting statement in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And let's see, this is, I think this is from the New International Translation. He says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and I'm supplying this, let us throw off the sin that so easily besets us, or the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it seems to me that there are two ideas here. One is sin, and we have to put sin away. And the other is things that hinder us. And sometimes good things hinder us, you know. And we just have to be aware that good things can hinder us. So, you know, I'm thinking about young people that get a scholarship to go to college. And the scholarship can be a hindrance. Because if you get a scholarship, they own you. You know, I went through that with, especially when I was in graduate school. My faculty advisor, who was basically responsible for me getting a faculty scholarship, he felt like he could call me at 3:00 in the morning, and I would jump. So That was a good thing that maybe became a hindrance. And he, by the way, he did call me at 3 o'clock in the morning and expect me to jump. You know, he called me when Kim was in the hospital. She had had surgery on her neck. And he said, you need to come to school this afternoon.
Did he know that she'd had surgery?
I told him.
Oh.
Yeah, he knew. But I reminded him, Kim has just had surgery. She just got back in her room. He said, is she okay? I said, yes. He said, you need to come to school this afternoon.
Oh, my goodness. He just wasn't a very nice person. He was
great. Did I go? Yes.
Of course you did.
Okay. So, even good things can hinder. Just be aware of it. Good things can hinder us.
Well, yeah, when we have so many blessings, then we kind of take God for granted, I think.
Well,
sometimes.
Yeah, that
know?
Can be the case. Yeah. We
have to remember.
It can hinder us because sometimes we think, okay, I got that because of my good looks and charm, you know.
Well, I would never say that.
Or I got,
that would cross my
I got that because.
Are you, my brains, I sure don't have any of that.
That was cute.
But isn't that true? It can get.
You get so overconfident.
Yeah. Yeah, I've known a lot of very pretty people whose very beauty became a hindrance to them.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes, I can see how that could happen. But beauty comes from within. My mother always said, if you're not pretty on the inside, you're not pretty on the outside.
Yeah.
But I think beautiful women, or really beautiful women, or really handsome men, they have a lot of problems.
Yeah, it's a hindrance. So lay that aside. Maybe we have to learn to lay that aside. Okay. Having a good job and making a good living, that can be a hindrance to us. I know a lot of people who lived in Texas back when they were drilling for oil. And in Texas, if they find oil on your land, you become instantly rich. Rich, rich. Okay. And that became a hindrance to a lot of people. And there was nothing wrong with finding oil on your land and having the means to do things that you couldn't do otherwise, but it can become a hindrance. Because we lived in Alaska and we knew a lot of people that were in the oil patch, they would offer them incredible jobs if they would go to Saudi Arabia or someplace like that, where being a Christian is very, very difficult. And I think that was an hindrance. And you have to, I know some people that turned down very lucrative jobs because of that. They didn't want to do that. I know people, Pete Smart had a great business and became a Christian, and he sold the business because he didn't want to be involved in it anymore. He had a grocery store, by the way, and was selling alcohol. And his conclusion was, I can't sell alcohol. Now,
I thought he had a garbage thing.
He did. But
he did. He took the money
when he was younger.
From the grocery store and bought a garbage business.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. But that's not to say that being a grocer is somehow a sinful activity or something that's not good. It was a good thing. But he had to carefully consider that. Okay, so.
Al Newcomer said something about that once about the, and I don't know if he worked in that area or what, but he he said, I can't do this. I can't do this. You know, this, I'm a Christian. I can't do this.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the whole story, so. But I remember him talking about that.
Yeah.
He made a big choice.
Yeah, I had another friend who was, he was pretty close to the mafia. And he made he became a Christian and had to quit that life. And that was that, quitting that life was a lot more complicated than just saying, I don't want this job anymore.
Oh, right.
Because you don't get to quit that life.
Well, how did he do that and stay alive?
He managed to do it. But he lived his whole life in fear.
Oh, I bet.
There would be retaliation. Okay. Okay. One more passage, and that'll be the conclusion. And so this is just another way that I think God might be pruning us. And I don't know. And believe me, I can't ever look at a situation and say, oh, I know exactly what God is doing. Because I've been in situations where, like Kim and I made an offer on the house, and we got the offer. They took the offer, and I thought, is this a blessing that God is giving me, or is Satan putting something in my way to tempt me to work so hard for the house that I don't have time to work for God? So I can't answer those questions. Now, we took the house, we did do that, we concluded that it was a blessing from God and tried to use it as if it was a blessing from God. Okay, so we had, in the first 16 years that we were married, we had somebody living with us over half the time. So that was our way of saying it might be a blessing, and we're going to treat it like it is. So here's 2 Timothy 2. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering. There's a really fraught phrase. Join with me in suffering. Like a good soldier of Christ Jesus, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. And so I've looked at that. I have been blessed with having a salary so that I could preach. Okay? And I derive some comfort from this. No one that is a soldier gets entangled with civilian affairs. So if you're going to preach the gospel, don't get entangled with other ways to try to make money. And I've not always been able to do that very well. Okay, but I think this getting, and I know a lot of preachers who have a side business. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but you just have to say, is this something that is dragging me down?
But don't some of them need that because they don't make enough?
They don't make enough to support their family, right. Yes.
I don't know if it's still that way, but I know it was years ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know a lot of guys that are preachers that preach for churches that don't have the ability to support them, and they have to take on a second job.
Yeah. When people say, well, they just want our money, blah, 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 what do they do with it? And I said, there's a lot they do with it, to help other people and to pay the preacher and to keep the building up. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't, it's not like the TV preacher.
Yeah, well, and having a nice building can become a hindrance because you don't want people to be coming into the building and tramping in mud, you know. That's a figurative way of saying it. But somehow we could let that become a real hindrance to us when we say, no, you're getting our nice building dirty.
Yeah, but would any of us say that? Has anybody ever said that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
The building became almost an idol.
Oh.
And in that case, probably we need to get rid of the building. But
or maybe those people.
But
yeah.
Well, you know.
I mean, not the people with dirty shoes, but the other people that are so.
Yeah, it's not dirty shoes.
Yeah, I know.
It's a lot of other stuff.
Using that as.
And you know, there's the story about the life-saving service that was somewhere on the East Coast, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but they had this rickety old boat, and everybody volunteered to go out and rescue sailors that were trapped on the ocean and in terrible storms, and they got pretty good at it, and then they were bringing people back, and they would put them up in the lighthouse shack and give them a place to sleep and all of this. And then a lot of people donated money, and they built this really nice life-saving station. And when they brought people back, they were wet and stinky and, you know, and bloody. And somebody said, well, we can't let them sleep in our nice building because we've got nice carpet on the floor. And it distorted the whole purpose of having the life-saving station. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good things can become a hindrance to us. Would you stop and pick up somebody on the street who was obviously dirty and smelly and they had a big dog with them that was shedding, and it was the middle of winter and it was raining and you had just washed your car?
Well, it wouldn't bother me about I just washed my car, but I might have second thought. Might call somebody to come and get it. Call Cahoots. I wouldn't care if my car got dirty. But Rick and I helped a guy one day. He was laying in the bushes and we thought he was just sleeping, and we walked past him, and then we said the next day, you know, he didn't, you know, we tried to talk to him, he didn't answer, but he wasn't out, but we went back the next day and he was still there, and so we said, we better help this man, and we got him water and we got him up, and he lived down just about a block from where he was, but he couldn't get up. So we felt terrible for leaving him there at the first day, but we did get him back to his place and got him some water. But
yeah. So he wasn't homeless?
No, he wasn't homeless. No.
Goodness.
But
wow.
I was glad we went back.
Yeah.
Because we don't always walk the same way, but we said we need to.
Poor man.
Yeah, yeah, it was awful. Felt sorry for him. But,
yeah. And I have been in situations where I've helped a lot of people, but I'm going out to dinner with Kim and I think, you know, I'm not going to stop and help you right now. And maybe the dinner with Kim is getting out of line.
I don't know. It's really hard because there's so many homeless and they're so.
It's hard to understand.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that these things are easy to figure out. They're not.
No.
They're hard to figure out. But I think God maybe gives us opportunities, and sometimes he has to smack me over the head to get me to see it. You know. Any comments from folks at home? Anybody have experience with this kind of stuff?
No talk. Just staying good.
Okay. No class next week. It's Thanksgiving Day. So everybody have lots of turkey, and we'll see you. It's Sleep Friday, and then we'll see you on Sunday, and you won't be sleepy.
Actually, we're having our Thanksgiving on Friday because Christian has to work all day Thursday. But we're going to some friends on Thursday, so we'll have two Thanksgiving dinners.
Yes, the Feast of Gluttony.
Yes, exactly. The good food is hindering me for sure.
Sometimes it hinders me because I can't get through the door.
Well, I'm getting there.
No class next week. The week after that, we will start a discussion of grace. And this is an outline that I borrowed from somebody. And I just think it's a pretty good outline. So I'll put these on the credenza out there. You can get one now. But they'll be on the credenza out there. So if other people want to come, or you don't have to necessarily be here. I know that it's hard for people that have difficulty driving to get out. So grab one of the outlines if you would like to participate in the class.